What a great song, God Never Gives Up on You. Well, it's great to see you all this morning. It's great to be here with you this morning. I brought two Bibles with me this morning, so this ought to be great. What do you think? Am I on back there, Chris? I pushed all the right buttons? Great. All right. So we'll see how this works. If you turn your Bibles to Luke chapter 6, I'm going to give you really part one of the part one I should have given you before I gave you my testimony a few weeks ago. And so we'll see how this goes this morning. If you'll stand with me, we'll read Luke chapter 5, but where you'll be right there. Luke chapter 5. Title of the message this morning is, I'm a sinful man. Luke chapter 5, starting in verse 1. Luke writes these words. He says, one day as Jesus was standing by the lake of Gennesaret, the people were crowding around him and listening to the word of God. He saw at the water's edge two boats left there by the fishermen who were washing their nets. He got into one of the boats, and the one belonging to Simon, and asked him to put out a little from shore. Then he sat down and taught the people from the boat. And when he had finished speaking, he said to Simon, put out into the deep water and let down the nets for a catch. And Simon answered, Master, we've worked hard all night and haven't caught anything, but because you said so, I will let down the nets. When they had done so, they caught such a large number of fish that their nets began to break, so they signaled their partners in the other boat to come and help them, and they came and filled both boats so full that they began to sink. When Simon Peter saw this, he fell at Jesus' knees and said, go away from me, Lord, I am a sinful man. For he and all his companions were astonished at the catch of fish they had taken. And so were James and John, the sons of Zebedee, Simon's partners. And Jesus said to Simon, don't be afraid, for now on you will fish for people. So they pulled their boats upon the shore, left everything, and followed him. Our Father, as we come before you this morning, as we break this word, as we dissect what it says, may you impart it to our hearts, and may you give me the words to say. May we listen and hear for ourselves what you want each of us to hear. And then may we respond accordingly. We thank you and we praise you in your great name. Amen. You may be seated. Several years ago, I had the opportunity to go to Hawaii on a trip with the military. So it really wasn't a vacation of any kind. On my trip there, I was a classified courier. And so when we landed, we were on two KC-10 airplanes, and our airplane broke, and the cargo that was on the other airplane was all the classified cargo. And so because myself and one other guy were the classified couriers, we were required to guard that airplane. Lots of fun that was. I took the morning shift. He took the night shift. And in the morning of the next day, we boarded everyone on the other airplane and flew to Guam. The flight to Guam is 10 or 12 hours, and if you know anything about the distance from Hawaii to Guam, you cross the international date line. And so when you land in Guam, you're actually 4 or 5 hours behind what the Hawaii time is, plus you jump the whole day. And so when we left Hawaii, it was like 6 or 7 in the morning, and we landed in Guam, it was like, 8 or 9 or 10 or 12 in the morning. And we landed, and they said, get to work. We were pretty tired. But we're the classified couriers, and the classified documents are all on this airplane. And so me and this guy had to go to work, and everybody else got to go wherever they wanted to go. And we worked all that day. And The other problem is all our clothes were still on the plane in Hawaii. And all we had were the clothes that were on. I can relate to Peter and James and John in this story as they're tired. They get off the boats of fishing all night and they're sitting on the shore and they're mending their nets, and here comes along Jesus, who, by the way, they have never met yet. And Jesus comes along, and in the crowds, if you go back to chapter 4, you find Jesus has been teaching and the crowds are pressing him. And so he says, I need to separate myself from the crowds. And he gets in the boat and he says to Simon, just butt me out of the shore a little bit. Let me have a little conversation with the people. Can you just give me a little separation, kind of like we have at this moment right now? And Simon's like, yeah, I can do that. That's no big deal. And so he gets that little separation. And Jesus does his thing. And then Jesus makes this amazing statement to Simon. He says, hey, let's go fishing. Now, many of you are here fishermen. How many of you like to fish? Yeah, look at that. I know when I first came over here to the church, a couple of you came up to me and said, do you like to fish? And if you remember that conversation, the first thing I said is, I don't mind being on the water. Notice I didn't say I like to fish. I just said, I don't mind being on the water. I said, I'll go fishing with you, but you won't probably catch many fish if you take me. You ask my wife, my buddy and I, when I lived in Louisiana, we love to go fishing. I could tell you more fishing stories than you ever want to know. But the problem is, none of them have anything to do with fish. Most fishermen, when they tell you a fishing story, what do they start out with? We caught a fish like this, and a fish is like this, and a fish is like this, and the fish gets bigger. Our fishing stories were never like that. Our fishing stories were always like this. We went fishing, and we ran out of gas. We went fishing, and the boat broke down. We went fishing, and we got tired, and we slept in the boat. We went fishing, and we got tired, and we just put lures, anchors on the lures. We started to see how far we could throw the thing. We went fishing, got caught in a rainstorm. We went fishing, got sunburned. Those are our fishing stories. It really had nothing to do with fish. The only time we ever caught fish is when we took our wives with us. We just didn't like taking our wives with us. We love our wives, don't get me wrong. We just didn't take our wives with us. We went fishing one time. We got almost all the way to the lake. I said to my buddy, I said, did you bring the key to the boat? Oh. Yeah, that's a big deal. You got to have the key to the boat, right? We get almost back to the house. We run out of gas in the truck. It's like 4 o'clock in the morning. He goes, I can't call my wife. She won't come get me. I call my wife. Both of my kids are only like 7 years old. She packs them in the car, comes down, picks us up. We come to the house, get the key, go back. We go fishing. We leave. We take. She goes home. That's our fishing stories. I'm just telling you. Peter, James, and John. Here, Peter. Jesus says to Peter, "Take me out. We're going to go fishing." And Peter says to Jesus, "Okay." He doesn't know who Jesus is. He says, "Okay." Now Peter is an expert fisherman. This is his lifestyle. How would you like it? And I've just told you all those stories, right? How would you all like it if I went out fishing with you and said, hey, why don't you throw your line over there? He'd be like, dude, what are you talking about? You're telling me how to fish? I've caught 4,000 fish in this lake and I do it right over here. And you're telling me to throw the line over there? This is Jesus telling Peter how to fish. He doesn't know who Peter is. Or he doesn't know who Jesus is. And Jesus says to Peter, Peter, throw your net on this side of the boat. And Peter says, now listen here, Jesus. We just fished all night long and we didn't catch nothing. And I'm super, super tired, man. Any of you been super, super tired? How many of you are super, super tired? My granddaughters are super, super tired. We took them to the pumpkin patch yesterday, walked all over the place. How many of you are super, super tired? We're tired, right? You worn out? Jobs? Family? Life? You're tired. I know you're not raising your hands, but you're tired. You know you're tired. Let's be honest. Come on, we're in church. If you can't be honest, what the world are we doing, right? Let's be honest. Are we not tired? As believers, we're tired. As people, we're tired. We're tired. But listen, when we get tired, we have to pull ourselves up. Because the person that we have, the power that we have, the thing that we have is Jesus Christ in our life. We have to remember that in Matthew 28:18, Jesus said these words, all power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. All power. Not a little bit of power. That word power is where we get the word dynamite from. How many of you like fireworks? The little M80s? Those little M80s are a little bit of dynamite, right? You ever stick it in the toilet bowl? Don't raise your hands. You ever stick it in a mailbox? You know what them things do. That's just a ditty bitty little power. Jesus says, I have all the power. And if you have the Holy Spirit residing inside of you, you have the power. So when you get tired, remember whose power you have. And listen, we all get tired. We all get down. We all get sad. We all get in struggles. We all get in places that are difficult. I get that. And there are times when we need to be lifted up. There's times when we need encouragement. There's times when we need strength. That's what church is about. I hear from people all the time, oh, I don't need church. I can worship God on the lake. You believe it. You can worship God on the lake, and it is a beautiful place to worship God. I can worship God in the woods when I'm hunting. And believe me, hunting's coming up, and you can worship God sitting in the deer stand. But I'm telling you right now, you don't get no strength and no power by yourself in any of those places. The only place you get power and strength is when you come around other people, other believers. The Bible clearly tells us, forsake not the gathering of yourselves together. Because you gain power and strength from coming around one another. We have to have that power. We have to come together. It's in that power and that strength that we can be lifted up and encouraged. Sometimes we come to church and we feel like we've been run over by a Mack truck because people you see treat us that way. We shouldn't be that way. Christians, as I said to the youth this morning, Christians should be the most happiest, joyous people you ever run across. But isn't it amazing how sometimes we're not that way? Jesus is trying to encourage Peter. He shows them that I realize you're tired and you're downtrodden and you fished on this side. But listen, I know a better way. Just trust me. Cast your net on the other side. Cast your net on the other side. Because even in your most troubled time, I know the best way. I know the best way. And so Peter does this. These are some great words that you need to understand. In verse 5, he says this, Master, we have worked hard all night long and caught nothing. He says this, but if you say so, but at your word, I'm going to let down your net. Because you said so, because you say do it, I'm going to do it. But listen, you shouldn't do things because I say so, or because the pastor says so, your Sunday school teacher, your director. You need to do things because this book right here says so. What does the Bible say? What does the Word of God say? What is it telling you to do? This is what you should follow. Jesus said so. It's interesting that Peter doesn't really know who Jesus is yet, but he says, because you say so, I'm going to let down my nets. I'm going to let the net down in the water. This is the same Peter that later on is going to deny Christ. This is the same Peter who jumps in the water and walks on water and then takes his eyes off of Christ and sinks. This is the same Peter that chops off the servant's ear. This is the same Peter that shoots his mouth off. But this is the same Peter that on the day of Pentecost gets the Holy Spirit and preaches that 3,000 people get saved. This is the same Peter that gets crucified upside down. We find that Peter here obeys Christ. Even when he's tired, he says, because you say so. When you're tired, you have to persevere and push through. In verse 6, he says, and when they did this, they caught this great number of fish. You might say, well, man, that's awesome. I just need to maybe go out next time I'm fishing. I'm not catching anything on the left side, so I'm going to cast it on the right side. God will give me a great number of fish. This is not what this story is about, by the way. This is not what we're finding here. This is not what Jesus is trying to teach Peter. It's really at the end here. But what I want you to see here is that when we're tired, we need to just push through. We need to stay in focus with God. But I also want you to see something else here. I want you to see that we have to recognize who we are. In verse 8, we find that Peter recognized that he was not maybe as holy or as righteous as he was. He recognized that in the presence of Jesus that he was a sinful man. We must recognize who we are. Where do we really stand in the presence of God? Who are we? Who are you? Are you really the person that you think you are? For a better vernacular, are you that, all that, and a bag of chips? Sometimes we think we're more important than we really are. Sometimes we put ourselves on a pedestal when what we should be is on our knees. Sometimes we hold possession of things that don't belong to us. What we should be doing is we should be bowing our face before Almighty God, because the things that we're trying to hang on to have no position in our place. We should be reminded of the words of Paul in Galatians when Paul says, "I have died that Christ may live in me." See, if I have died and Christ lives in me, then everything I have no longer belongs to me. And so therefore, why are you trying to hang on to and hold on to and control all your stuff? Because it's not your stuff. Once we recognize our position and our place, and once we come to that position and place of brokenness before God, then we can do what we find that Jesus did here with Peter. He says, hey, don't be afraid. Don't be frightened. Don't be in a place of misunderstanding. Let me show you something mighty and great. I'm going to make you fishers of men instead of fishers of fish. Instead of coming to the water doing things that are trivial, I'm going to send you to a place of things that are kingdom growing. I'm going to give you greater responsibilities. Now that you understand the menial things, I'll give you greater things. But notice it took Peter to come to a place of brokenness. But also understand that Peter didn't come to that place easily. And Peter still had more lessons to learn. He didn't get it right away, did he? I just gave you some illustrations of how Peter still failed later on, didn't he? He needed the Holy Spirit eventually to get him where he really needed to be. We all need the Holy Spirit to keep us moving in the right direction. We need the Word of God in our life. We need one another to move forward. We need help. And we need all kinds of things to push us where God needs us to be. And we need to move forward, continually looking ahead. We need to be reminded of the words of Paul. I don't look behind, but I look forward to what God has. I remember years ago when I was taking driver's ed, when they still offered that actually in school. It was a class you just took in school. I never understood why the driver ed teacher did this, but he did. We were driving down the road, and he says, okay, I want you to look in the rearview mirror and drive with the right tires on the white line. Don't anybody ever try that. You're all thinking about that right now, aren't you? You're like, man, I should go out and try that. Don't try that. It's like texting and driving. Don't try that. It's crazy. I mean, think about that. But what happens if you're thinking about that? What do you think's happening if you're trying to look in the rearview mirror while you're trying to drive forward? And many of us in our Christian life are trying to move forward in our Christian life while we're looking backwards. I can't change what happened yesterday. Can't change it at all. Even if I made a mistake, even if I got a speeding ticket, I can't change it. All I can do is deal with the consequences. That's all I can do. I could be angry, I could be upset, I could be all those things about it, but I still can't change what happened yesterday. All I can do is deal with the consequences of it. So why are we still looking at the backwards when we should just be moving forward? And that's what we have to come to, is that place of brokenness, that place of understanding. And so Jesus says to Peter here, listen, don't be afraid. from now on, you'll be catching men. And they do an amazing thing. Notice what it says in verse 11. And when they brought their boats in, they took that big giant load of fish, they hauled it off to the market and sold it for a big bundle of money. It says that when they came to shore, they left everything to follow Christ. How many of you today are willing to leave everything to follow Christ? How many of you are willing to leave all your 401ks to follow Christ? How many of you are willing to leave all your fancy homes and cars to follow Christ? How many of you are willing to leave everything you have to follow Christ? How many of you are willing to leave whatever you have to follow Christ? How many of you are willing to put down whatever it is that's going on in your life to say yes to Jesus? But you just don't understand, Pastor. I'm having a great time living my life the way I'm living it, man. I'm having all these parties and I'm doing all this stuff. I'm going here, I'm going there, and I'm just having a great time. Really, are you? Well, let me ask you this. When you get to hell, how great a time are you going to have? Being separated from Christ for the rest of your life. Because the Bible says that there is a price to pay. See, Jesus died for us at the cross so that we could have eternal life. And the question that sits for each and every one of us is, are we willing to leave everything for Christ? Sometimes when I read this here in Luke chapter 5, I wonder if what Jesus was saying to the people was really about the people, or if what was going on here really was just about Peter, James, and John. Notice we're not told anything about what Jesus said to the people. All we hear is about what happened with Peter, James, and John. What I want you to see here is how this affects you. Are you willing to say yes, to recognize that we need to come broken before God? To break down that stronghold in your life. To let Jesus break into that barrier. To let Jesus take that pain, that agony, that whatever it is, to say yes to Him, that I am sinful, that I am in that place, that I can't deal with it anymore. That's what Peter is saying. And then allow Jesus to say, here's what I'll do for you. Don't be afraid. And then be willing to say, I'll leave everything for you, Christ. You see, Jesus came down from glory. He left everything, as we find in Philippians chapter 2. Thinking it was not robbery to be equal with God, but left everything, humbled himself, became a servant, even a servant unto death, the death of the cross. He died, shed his blood, was buried, and rose again. That God gave him a name, that at that name every knee will bow and every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. One day, every one of us will kneel before him and say, yes, Jesus, you're Lord. And I would much rather do it as him being my Lord than him not. What will we do as believers or unbelievers? Every head bowed and every eye closed. As you think about what Jesus is saying to you this morning, as you're contemplating the conversation he's having in your heart, the question I would ask of you this morning is, do you know Christ? Do you know Jesus is your personal Lord and Savior? Have you said yes to him? If you're sitting here this morning and you've never said, Jesus, I want you to be my Lord and Savior, I invite you this morning to say that to him now. To simply say, yes, I want Jesus to come into my heart. I want to know him as my personal Lord and Savior. To just humbly say, Jesus, be mine today. If that's a decision you want to make today, just slip your hand up. Let me know who you are. Maybe you're here this morning and you just got strongholds going on in your life and you want to have Jesus just break through those for you this morning and you want to just give it all to Him. You're still hanging on to things and you just want to release it to Christ because He needs to have it. The Bible tells us to cast all our cares upon Him because He cares for you. And you're still hauling that stuff around with you. Hey, that's you this morning. You raise your hand. Let me see who you are as I'm praying with you this morning. Thank you. Listen, we've got a great God. Let Him have your stuff this morning. In a moment, we're going to sing the nail-scarred hands, and you need to let Jesus, the one that has those nail-scarred hands, have everything that you have. Believers, we shouldn't hang on to anything. He died so that He could have it all for you, so that you could serve Him freely and joyously. Our Father, we thank You. We thank You for the ones that raise their hands to give everything to You, Lord. We ask that You just work in their life and give them encouragement and strength to just continually move forward. As they're dealing with the issues, You know what those issues are. We just thank You that their willingness to say, yes, I have this issue and I want to recognize that and I want to move forward. Lord, as You're dealing with each and every one of us this morning, just Lord, just work in our lives. Sometimes it's hard for us to just say yes. I'm thankful for who You are, what You've done, in Your great precious name. Amen.